Hello, and welcome to this October episode of Just the Discs. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. I have next to me a nice little stack of horror movies just right for the season. And these come from a mixture of labels, which I will call out along the way as I go here. First up is a little movie called Innocent Blood from 1992.
Now, this guy's lost a lot of blood.
Yeah, well, he had his head blown off.
No, this guy's really lost a lot of blood.
Marie had a hunger to feed on the evil.
You want a ride? You got one.
Michelli's a gangster.
Call me Sal.
Who's out to take over the city.
What do I call you?
Marie.
Wait, Marie.
What he didn't count on was a vampire.
Come on, baby. Relax.
With a taste for Italian. Now, the undead. And the undercover.
You are under arrest.
Are teaming up.
Michelli's not dead, is he?
Gotta get hold of yourself.
To take the bite out of crime.
You're gonna be made men. But when you're made by me, nobody can touch you.
I've got you.
Welcome to the family.
From John Landis, the director of An American Werewolf in London.
You lost a lot of blood. Are you sure you don't need more?
Don't worry. You're not my type.
Innocent Blood. A movie that goes straight for the jugular. Under my
skin. It says here, the ghoul just wants to have fun. She also wants an occasional bad guy to sink her fangs into because she never ever takes innocent blood. Any parallel is Marie, a vampire who imperils Pittsburgh when she fails to kill off one of her victims, mob boss Sal Maselli, Robert Loggia. Sal realizes what a lucky stiff he is, a vampire with deadly powers. If Marie and her undercover cop boyfriend, Anthony LaPaglia, can't stop the mobster's new, quote, family of goons, Pittsburgh will be the pits. As in his An American Werewolf in London, director John Landis saw in Michael Walk's script many possibilities to be outrageous and transforms them into outrageous screen reality. So this is a new Blu-ray from Warner Archive, who I think I've said is really killing it this year. Their slate is just nonstop goodness for the past several months and doesn't look to be stopping as far as interesting titles. But so this one, yeah, directed by John Landis, a vampire gangster movie, pretty underrated, pretty underseen. Had a crappy DVD for a long time as a representative of the movie, which was, I think, full frame, was one of those old snapper case DVDs. So this is, you know, a cleaned up version, widescreen, looks great. Yeah, it's just nice, again, as I always say, to have this movie in such a pristine format, you know, and allow people to rediscover it, especially around Halloween time. Seems like the perfect opportunity to watch a new movie that you haven't seen before like this. And it's got a great bit from Don Rickles, which definitely is worth the price of admission alone.
One of the other standouts of the film is its remarkable cast. For one thing, it's got one of the best ensembles of classic mob tough guy actors. You got Robert Loggia, Chaz Palminteri, Kim Coates, The Sopranos' Tony Sirico, as well as legendary Don Rickles as the mob lawyer. As if that weren't enough, you get a stellar supporting lineup consisting of Angela Bassett, Luis Guzman, and Marshall Bell. But wait, there's more! Landis at that time had a very cool habit of having cameos from fellow filmmakers and genre luminaries, and this one is chock full of great cameos. Tom Savini, Frank Oz, Forrest J. Ackerman, Michael Ritchie, Sam Raimi, Steve Johnson, Leah Quigley, and the great Dario Argento all make appearances in this film. There's also some great usage of classic monster movies such as Dracula and Phantom of the Rue Morgue, as well as many others. Another great standout in this film are the incredible makeup effects by Steve Johnson. Very cool glowing eye effects long before CGI was around, and an incredible death scene for Don Rickles, who smolders before your eyes after getting hit with a blast of sunlight. Also a healthy dose of arterial spray during the various feeding scenes.
So that's a good-looking disc from Warner Archive. Next up, I have one called One Dark Night.
We know all about you, Julie. More than anything else, you want to belong, just to be one of the gang. You've met every challenge. Now comes the final test you didn't plan on. Well, Julie, welcome. Welcome to the club. See One Dark Night, rated PG.
This came out originally from Code Red a few months back, a while back, and it says, world-famous psychic Raymar is found dead, along with several victims of his bizarre experiments. On the same day his body is interred in a mausoleum, high schooler Julie Wells, Meg Tilly, agrees to spend the night there all alone as part of a hazing to join the clique The Sisters, which consists of Robin Evans, Leslie Spates, and E.G. Daly, who I love. Later that night, the sisters secretly return to torment Julie in an attempt to scare her out of her mind, but the girls are not alone. Raymar's experiments continue even after death, on his own body and on the dozen resident corpses in various stages of decay. Soon they're exhumed and looking for fresh meat. Also starring Adam West and directed by Tom McLaughlin, who did Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6, which I like a lot. This blood-curdling tale will chill you with its claustrophobic setting, moody cinematography, foreboding score, and ultra-realistic makeup effects. Now enjoy this ultimate edition from a brand new HD master and with tons of brand new extras. So this one I had not seen since an old Thorn EMI VHS tape. And it had been a good while, to the point where I could barely recall the movie. This one came out in 1982-ish, I think. So anyway, it's an interesting movie. It's a little bit of a slow starter, but it has a really interesting opening scene where they go to the crime scene and find all these bodies piled up in a closet and lots of silverware and dishes smashed into the wall, like, by telekinetic force. It's pretty creepy. And then later when, Raymar's body starts to bust out of his mausoleum and animate all the dead corpses, he's creepy looking and the corpses are creepy looking. I mean, it's the effects are pretty good. And so in the mausoleum hallways remind me of Phantasm. So that's a plus, because Phantasm's one of the best movies ever. So it's cool. And it does have a whole bunch of new, I don't know if they're new extras. I think they might've been on the previous DVD, but I think there are some new stuff here. Audio commentary with director Tom McLaughlin and writer Michael Hawes. There's a work print version of the film, which is 4x3, but that's pretty cool. Brand new audio commentary with Tom McLaughlin and producer Michael Schroeder. Brand new on-camera interviews with McLaughlin, Schroeder, star E.G. Daly, makeup person Paul Clemens, director of photography Hal Trussell, Nancy McLaughlin, production designer Craig Stearns. So that's a good little set. And this movie's rated PG somehow, which is kind of crazy because it's pretty intense for a PG. I mean, I guess it could be a PG-13, but there's some scary crap in here that would kind of mess you up. I love Meg Tilly. I'm a big fan of her since Psycho 2, and Adam West is always a treat, but E.G. Daly just elevates everything for me. She's the best. Next up, I have a trio from Scream Factory, starting with the film The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Today, police made a shocking discovery in Poughkeepsie.
A third body was found here today. A Poughkeepsie couple vanished over the weekend, seemingly without a trace.
Do you mind if I film this? I'm making a little movie about my trip.
Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Which I think came out sort of in 2008, technically. Technically 2008, but it got pulled for some reason. I guess MGM had purchased the movie and they were a little bit afraid of it, understandably, after watching it. So it became sort of an underground thing because people couldn't see it, but I guess you could find it online. And It's a found footage movie, so it seems like it could be real. I guess it's from the filmmakers who brought you Quarantine and As Above, So Below. It says, comes a descent into the twisted crimes of a serial killer. Throughout the 1990s, a serial killer terrorized upstate New York. After a decade-long crime spree conducted largely under the radar of law enforcement, the killer left behind the most disturbing collection of evidence homicide detectives had even ever seen. Hundreds of homemade videotapes that chronicled the stalking, abduction, murder, and disposal of his victims. The Poughkeepsie Tapes examines these horrific tapes at length, what they reveal about the killer, why they were made, and how the FBI profilers have used them to better understand violent psychopathic behavior. The Poughkeepsie Tapes combines interviews surrounding the devastating impact of the Water Street Butcher with shocking footage from the tapes themselves. So, you know, it's a faux documentary kind of thing. They're talking to, like it says, FBI people, victims, relatives, and then they have these really grainy VHS tapes that they intercut of this killer who disturbingly filmed all his victims before, you know, actually killing them or torturing them. It's a really intense movie. Even knowing it's not real, the way that the point of view footage with the camera, the video camera, is intercut makes it really disturbing, because there's some intense kind of torturous scenes, and the acting is really pretty good, because it really affected me, you know, and this killer is really kind of fucked up, and, you know, abducts children and mostly women, and is just generally awful and creepy and scary. And so this is a really haunting movie, and if not given the context that it isn't real, and if was played up to be real, would be really, really even more disturbing. Although there are some folks in the movie that definitely kind of give it away. As far as their acting, they're not fully there. But a lot of the people feel pretty real, and so it gives it this air of authenticity that makes it even more disturbing. This disc has new interviews with writer-director John Eric Dowdle, writer-producer Drew Dowdle, and actor Stacy Shibotsky, who is the wife of Eric Dowdle and who is one of the main victims in the movie. And she is really good and really intense. So much so that by the end, I was so haunted by her that when I watched her in the interviews, I was still kind of creeped out. So very effective movie. Very scary, like real life horror stuff. Next up is another one from Scream Factory called The Resurrected.
Then from the author of Terror, H.P. Lovecraft. From the director of Return of the Living Dead.
There's no evil in what I do, so long as I do it rightly.
The Resurrected.
I have struck depths that your little brain cannot fathom.
He lived centuries ago.
It is to be expected. The dead take much blood.
But for him, death was only the beginning.
The cops found eight. Count them, eight boxes of human remains. Turns out they've had a rash of tomb snatchings over in Europe.
Now, this wizard from the past.
Don't you understand what's going on down here, Lonnie? He beat death.
Has teamed with a man from the present.
So he's talking about bringing people back from the dead.
To create an evil that will last forever.
As the hunger grows, my control will surely weaken.
The best we can hope for it is to somehow diminish Charles's homicidal and cannibalistic impulses.
The curse of the formerly dead is the hunger.
And it will not be denied.
Chris Sarandon of Fright Night and Child's Play.
I've drawn down demons from the stars.
There'll be no salvation for these.
John Terry of In Country and Full Metal Jacket. Jane Civet of television's The Famous Teddy Z.
The destinies of all things, living and dead, are mine.
The Resurrected.
And this is from the director of Return of the Living Dead, Dan O'Bannon, who obviously was a co-writer on Alien, or maybe he wrote Alien. Yeah, he's one of the writers on Alien. Anyway, this is based on the story, The Case of Charles Dexter Ward by H.P. Lovecraft. So, you know, you can feel a certain kinship with something like Reanimator and some of the other Stuart Gordon Lovecraft adaptations. But there's not really any comedy in this. It's pretty straight ahead, creepy, horror-y. I mean, it's from the point of view of a detective who's investigating the case of this guy. I'll just read the back. It says, since the beginning of time, man has struggled with death. Now, Charles Dexter Ward, Chris Sarandon, a wealthy scientist, may have found a way to beat it. Using an ancient diary and human remains, Ward begins a terrifying and bloody pursuit for immortality. By the time his wife Claire, Jane Sibbert hires private investigator John March, John Terry, to halt the horrible experiments. It's too late. The dead have been resurrected. So it's got a very conventional, as far as detective movies go, like voiceover narration. It starts in that like Double Indemnity way with the detective basically summing up the case. I mean, there's like a sort of a gory crime scene that we see at the beginning, and then we flash back. And he sort of goes through the whole case, you know, the wife coming to him. Jane Sibbett, by the way, I was looking at her, this blonde actress. I'm like, where do I know her from? She's from Herman's Head, the old TV show with William Ragsdale. She's the blonde woman. I think her name was Hetty on the show that I had a big crush on at the time. And she's very good as the wife of Chris Sarandon, the one who hires the detective to help figure out what's going on.
He brought it home and had it restored. It was uncanny. It could have been a portrait of Charles himself.
What do you mean?
I mean, Kerwin looked exactly like Charles.
What?
You can see it if you like. It's in the house.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
That's when he set up that lab in the carriage house and became secretive. When I asked him what he was doing, he said he'd found some more old papers that contain remarkable secrets of early scientific knowledge or something to that effect.
But it's also got Robert Romanus, who folks will remember from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He's great in that. I like him a lot. He's one of the guys that works with the detective. And yeah, the story just gets creepier and creepier, and you get to see like failed experiments, like reanimated flesh creatures that aren't right, you know, and the effects are quite good. So these unfinished beings look really gross and creepy and disturbing, and I don't know, it's definitely an effective little movie that I hadn't seen before. I don't even know if I'd heard of this one for some reason. It slipped by me completely, which is too bad because I like Dan O'Bannon. So the special features, it's got some good extras. New 2K scan of the inner positive, new Claire's Conundrum featurette, an interview with actress Jane Sibbett.
The sets were extremely creepy. They were cold and dank and dark, and it was winter and we're shooting up in Canada. And I really, truly remember being horrified by some of the things in the set, like the, well, I don't want to necessarily give away if anyone hasn't really watched it, but the fleshier, bloodier aspects of it were really disgusting. The floating bodies and things like that. It was like, this again, this genre is not, I'm not comfortable in this world. I'm, you know, Mary Sunshine here. Oh, as a matter of fact, this is, I've forgotten about this. There was this thing in the newspaper that one of our bodies, one of our dead bodies that they used in the movie, escaped. And literally they were shooting doing B-roll on the, like the river, and one of them got away from the crew. And so somebody found this body, this cadaver, this fake cadaver. It was like this big hullabaloo in the paper that they found this, but of course it was just, you know, a mannequin, something that they created. Yeah, so enough for those people to believe it. You can imagine me being an actress, and it was not hard at all to buy into all of that gore. It was really, really scary. Cold, I remember, very cold.
New, The Strange Case of Charles Dexter Ward, an interview with author S.T. Joshi. Audio commentary with producers Mark Board and Kenneth Reich. Writer Brent V. Friedman, special effects artist Todd Masters, and actor Robert Romanus. Interviews with actor Chris Sarandon, Brent V. Friedman, Todd Masters, composer Richard Band, and production designer Brent Thomas, and some deleted and extended scenes. This one will definitely be on my discoveries list, because like I said, I hadn't seen it, and it is effective and, you know, haunting, and I like a good detective story, especially when it's got a supernatural bent to it. Next up is Slither.
Throughout the years, these classic horror films had one thing in common. From Universal Pictures comes a film so shocking.
We've got a real problem here.
So disgusting.
Don't let him in your mouth! No!
It will change the face. Horror.
They're doing things to people, turning them into some kind of monsters.
How's everybody's evening? Good? Good.
together.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Me neither. And I watch Animal Planet all the time.
Which is an early-ish film from director James Gunn. It's the one that I saw that brought him to my attention. You know, kind of made me go, oh, this guy has got something going on here. And it says, prepare yourself for this terrifying, twisted, and chilling film that critics are calling the most entertaining horror movie in years. From the co-writer and director of Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes this deliciously demented story of an unnamed evil wreaking havoc on a small town. Intent on devouring all life on Earth, this dark and slimy entity is infecting anyone in its path. Now it's up to the local sheriff, Bill Pardee, Nathan Fillion, and his team to stop the spread of rampant devastation and shocking mutilation before it's too late. This outrageously funny horror film stars Michael Rooker, Elizabeth Banks, Greg Henry. So this is another movie with some really cool effects, really gross, you know, kind of like Night of the Creeps, if you've seen that, where the alien enters your body and takes you over and, in this case, makes you a big, gross mess. But yeah, it has moments of humor, but is genuinely scary in parts. It's just a creepy movie and a really interesting calling card kind of movie from James Gunn that definitely established sort of his reputation as, I guess, a cult filmmaker? I don't know.
Actually, a lot of that stuff was inspired. I read a graphic novel called Uzumaki by a guy named Junji Ito. And Junji Ito wrote this graphic novel called Uzumaki. Uzumaki means the spiral. And it's a wonderful, like, comedic but both very creepy novel about this spiral that invades this small town. And I loved the tone of it. And I talk a lot about how Slither is a love poem to, you know, the movies from the 80s that I loved, the you know, the horror comedies of the 80s. But the truth is that what really started it out was reading this graphic novel, because it was so creepy and yet funny and strange and fucked up that it was really what I wanted to capture, that same sort of feeling. And there was a couple of things I thought of first when the idea was coming to my mind. One is the scene in which the worm's going into Kylie's mouth, and the other one was when the Brenda blob explodes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what specifically, you know, I seem to have a freaked out pregnancy thing in all of my movies, and I don't know why that is, but it happens in Romeo and Juliet. The woman's stomach bursts open and she has rats and popcorn and all this stuff come out. And Dawn of the Dead, you have the little baby that's all messed up. I mean, even in Scooby-Doo 2, there's this womb sequence, and it's something that I seem to be sort of obsessed with.
It's definitely one of those movies that came out and those that saw it really liked it and championed it, and then it kind of disappeared, and it got an HD DVD release, but it didn't get much of a Blu-ray fanfare. So this is a really nice collector's edition from Scream Factory, and there's a lot of care put into it, and it's just the kind of release that will allow, and that combined with James Gunn's, you know, huge reputation now as the director of those Guardians movies. I mean, I'm not saying that people who love Guardians will go back and love Slither. It is a twisted movie, but it's really effective and has a lot of well done and well orchestrated, you know, horror scenes and just gross stuff that's meant to make you laugh and or make your skin crawl. And he does it really effectively. Special features: new audio commentary with writer director James Gunn and cast members. New interview with James Gunn and actor Greg Henry.
I love, you know, Jack McCready's big bubble thing on where he's growing a womb on the side of his neck. The Brenda blob is something that I worked really hard on. They kept giving me designs of Brenda blobs, and I kept drawing her. And I'm like, no, she's like this. She's like a big, you know, boob with her head as a nipple. Basically, a big round thing, a big round thing. And, like, they kept being like, that's ridiculous, and it doesn't, you know, gravity would make her sag. And I'm like, I don't care. Big round Brenda blob. Big round Brenda blob. So, I can't say that 10 times fast.
Brenda.
Oh, I didn't want no one seeing me like this.
Shit.
Oh. How's my poor Bill? Is he all right?
Boy's fine, Brenda. So, what's going on here
Exactly.
Audio commentary with James Gunn and actor Nathan Fillion. Deleted scenes, extended scenes, Bringing Slither's Creatures to Life featurette, Slithery set tour with Nathan Fillion, the making of, quote, The Sick Minds and Slimy Days of Slither, gag reel, and more. Very nice set. Kudos to Scream Factory for another good release. I mean, these are all good ones. I've been taking all these releases from them. Next up is one from Kino, Lorber Studio Classics, and it's Rawhead Rex from 1986.
What I saw wasn't human.
Oh my God!
It was very tall. What's more, it saw me, this thing.
Rawhead Rex.
And this one is sort of has like a reputation as one of those movies that it's written by Clive Barker. I think that's part of its notoriety, but it's just one of those movies that people seem to remember fondly from the 80s, and I know that this Blu-ray release is greatly anticipated because it, you know, it's had a DVD release, but it's been out of print for a long time, and so the movie's been kind of not that available. I had never seen it, I don't think. If I had, I just didn't remember it at all, so this was my first time watching it. Anyway, the back says, brand new 4K restoration from the original camera negative, which is cool. Looks good. He's pure evil, pure power, pure terror. Rawhead Rex is a demon, alive for millennia, trapped in the depths of hell and waiting for release. He is held by an ancient seal, imprisoned for centuries in a barren field near the hamlet of Rathmore, Ireland. In time, this gruesome legacy has been forgotten, dismissed as an odd pre-Christian myth, until Tom Garen, Donald McCann, decides to plow the fields his ancestors knew better than to disturb. The seal is broken, and an unspeakable evil is unleashed on a rampage of blood and lust. Howard Hallenbeck, David Dukes, an American historian on a working vacation with his family, discovers on the stained glass windows of a local church a series of scenes illustrating the reign of terror of Rawhead Rex. But the one piece of glass depicting the defeat of the monster is missing. Rawhead Rex is on the loose, and he is insatiable as Howard desperately races against time for a way to stop the vicious monster. Directed by George Pavlou, Transmutations, with a screenplay by horror legend Clive Barker, Hellraiser, Candyman, Nightbreed, Lord of Illusions. So this is an interesting movie. It's notoriously got its fans, and it's notoriously not a great movie, and I am inclined to slightly agree, although I see why people like it. You know, Rawhead Rex himself is an interesting looking creature, although the Blu-ray looks so nice, he looks a little bit more rubbery, as he obviously is, than maybe he should. Maybe on a grainy VHS he'd be a little bit more scary. He's definitely scary, because he just runs around, he's big, and he looks like a monster, and he runs around tearing people apart, biting them, throwing them around, ripping their heads off, but you know, just feeding on their flesh. And he doesn't say anything, he just roars. So he's a very threatening character, and you can see, you know, how frightening he would be to the people in the movie. Yeah, so it's an interesting 80s curio, and I do like, you know, guy in a suit movies, especially where the suit, there's obviously been some care taken in designing his look, and like I said, he is creepy and memorable, certainly. And he does kill some people you don't expect him to kill, so kudos for that. This is a really nice special edition from Kino Lorber. It includes an audio commentary with director George Pavlou, moderated by author Stephen Thrower, which is really cool. He of Nightmare USA fame. It's got an interview with actor Heinrich von Bunau, interview with actor Ronan Wilmot, interviews with special effects / MU crew members Jerry Johnston, Peter McKenzie Litton, John Schoonrad, and Rosie Blackmore. Interview with cameraman Sean Corcoran. Interview with Stephen R. Bissette, co-creator of John Constantine. Booklet essay by film historian Kat Ellinger and 5.1 surround audio. Anyway, it's a nice package. Comes in a nice slipcase, which is good for fans. They like the slipcases. It's a good disc, all in all. Next up, one more from Kino Lorber. This is The Good Son from 1993.
You know this one? Great big gobs of greasy, grimy gopher gut, mutilated monkey meat, chocolate little piggy feet, french fried eyeballs swimming in a pool of mud. That sure tastes good.
Henry, come on down here.
Behind his smile lies a secret.
Here, my two of them, so we could be brothers.
Hey, Mark, come on, let's go.
Where are we going?
Behind his eyes lies a plan.
Who is he? Mr. Highway. Wow. What are you going to do with him?
And behind the image of a good son.
Coming?
So what are you guys up to out there?
Sorry, Mom, top secret. Where are we going?
We're here.
Lies the terrifying truth.
Say goodbye.
No!
Did you know what you did? You could have killed people.
I feel sorry for you. I just don't know how to have fun.
What? You're a doctor. You know things.
Well, some things.
What if there was this boy? You did these terrible things because you liked doing them.
Such a sweet little thing.
It'd be too bad if something were to happen to her. Would you say he was evil?
I don't believe in evil.
You should.
When innocence is just a mask.
Do you really think I'd hurt her?
You wouldn't.
Poor Mark. So violent.
When trust becomes a weapon. Then anyone can become the next victim.
Henry.
No! Susan! If I let you go, you think you could fly?
Macaulay Culkin, The Good Son.
This is a evil kid movie. I had not seen it since probably 1993. It says, evil has many faces. Evil resides in an unexpected place in this gripping, suspense-filled drama written by Ian McEwan, Atonement, and directed by Joseph Rubin, the stepfather, sleeping with the enemy. Macaulay Culkin stars as Henry, an angelic-looking boy who seems loving and loyal to his parents, sisters, and friends. Only his cousin Mark, Elijah Wood, sees what lurks behind Henry's smile, secret thoughts, and the love of deadly sadistic games. But when Mark tries to warn Henry's family, they won't believe him, leaving the terrified youngster alone to battle his jealous, menacing cousin. The stellar cast includes Wendy Crewson, David Hugh Kelly, and David Morse. So, I won't spoil it, but the thing I remember most from this movie is the ending. I'll never forget the ending, because it's not an ending like one you see very much in Hollywood films. So it stuck with me. And also, I was a big Home Alone fan, so seeing Macaulay Culkin 180 completely to this psychopathic kid role was, I don't know, it was kind of crazy at the time.
I didn't mean to cause any trouble.
It's not your fault, Henry. Mark is going through some difficult things.
Is he okay?
What do you mean?
Maybe I shouldn't say anything. The way he acts when nobody's around. Dr. Davenport, he scares me sometimes.
Why? What does he do?
Please don't ask me that. I can't tell you.
Why not?
Because Mark's my friend.
You won't be betraying him, I promise you. Please, Henry, tell me everything.
Everything? Sure missed an interesting session. I like therapy.
What did you tell her?
Sorry, it's strictly confidential. But you better stop telling lies about me, because no one's going to believe you.
Sooner or later, they're going to find out about you.
Who's they?
My dad? My mom? I told your mom.
Why would she believe you? She's my mom, not yours.
You know you're wrong about that. She is my mother.
Your mom? You crazy? Your mom's maggot food.
My mom said she'd always be with me. He chose your mom as a way of coming back. But I guess you wouldn't understand that. But it's true. She's my mother now.
Hey, Mark. Don't fuck with me.
And I didn't really know Elijah Wood, but he was good in the movie. But yeah, evil kid movies are tough. You know, the bad seed or whatever, it's always annoying because you always want to go, why can't they see through this bullshit? You know, why can't they tell? And maybe I'm just cynical. Maybe I am suspicious of, I have kids, but maybe I'm suspicious of evil kids for some reason, and kids lying and trying to find out the truth. I mean, I know my daughter goes to school with some kids that are really good at misbehaving and then acting like completely shocked when they're called out and going into full denial mode in a really creepy way. So I think that's another reason this kind of movie resonates with me, is that it's not like these kids are going to turn out like Macaulay Culkin in this movie, but there is some element of evil in some kids that I've come across that I find unsettling. But yeah, anyway, these movies always piss me off because you're just like, well, somebody figure this out already. This kid is driving me crazy. And Macaulay's really good in the role, so it works. But yeah, I hadn't seen this one in a while, and it was fun to revisit. It's got some extra features, including interview with director Joseph Rubin, interview with actor Wendy Crewson, interview with actor Daniel Hugh Kelly, interview with actor David Morse, interview with cinematographer John Lindley. So it's a nice group of extras, you know, a good amount of extra content to give you some insight about the movie, which I found useful and helpful. So that's another good Kino Lorber Studio Classics Blu-ray. And lastly, we have one called Victims.
I just can't wait to get out there and unwind. I haven't been camping since I was 12. For a wild and crazy girl. Oh. On a wild and crazy weekend.
I don't see why you have to be so childish about it.
Childish?
Yes, if we can't be away from each other for 2 days.
That's not the point.
No?
No, I just don't think it's a good idea for a bunch of girls to be going in the desert alone.
Oh, just because we're women, you think we can't take care of ourselves?
I didn't say that. Look, it's not a good idea to be taking chances. It's a dangerous place if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, now we don't know what we're doing! Well, I'm going, and that's it.
Oh, I guess you've got something to prove, huh?
Maybe I have. I'll be home Sunday night unless the Big Bad Wolf gets me.
This is a slasher video release that came out through Olive Films. And I do like the Olive Films slasher video, you know, duo. I like that they're working together and getting the slasher video movies out, because they do pick some interesting films. This is another one where they are using a Video Master that's been upconverted. I think it's the best that this movie is going to probably ever get. It says, disclaimer, Victims is presented using the best available elements provided by slasher video. Not sourced from an HD master, remastered from Beta SP, and upconverted to Blu-ray and DVD specifications. So it's a 4:3 or a 1:3:3:1 aspect ratio, and it's color. But there's, you know, as I was saying with Rawhead Rex, there is some value to this being a little grainier, even in the Blu-ray format. This kind of movie, I think, benefits from that. The back of it says, 2 deranged killers, 4 nubile women, do the math. When 4 women head out for a weekend in the wild to explore rock formations, little do they imagine the horror that awaits when they're stalked by 2 serial killers. What starts out as innocent fun, camping, skinny dipping, and exploring rocks, soon turns into a fight for survival in Victims. Directed by Jeff Hathcock, Victims is written for the screen by John O'Hara, based on the story Weekend by Richard Halley and Jeff Hathcock, and stars Ava Kaufman, Ann Richardson, Jerry Schlesel, Pam Richards, Robert Axelrod, and Lonnie Withers. So it is sort of one of those low-budget, young people in peril kind of movies, and the serial killers are in question are pretty intense. The movie starts with a very interesting scene of a woman running up some stairs and probably getting an axe in the head, and then another woman, man dressed as a woman, I guess, stabbing someone in the middle of what looks like maybe a UCLA campus or something, and then running away and somebody trying to stop. It's got a really scattered but interesting opening, and then it goes into this, you know, the more remote wilderness stuff. But yeah, no, it's an interesting thriller kind of horror movie. if you're collecting the slasher video releases, this one definitely goes along with their other stuff. Shock 'em Dead. I mean, it's not supernatural like that, or Killer Workout. It's not quite as straight horror as that, but it's definitely of the same kind of thing as what they've put out before. And it's good to have it in the best format as far as how it's going to look. I don't think it's probably going to get better treatment than this. Oh, I should mention that Victims has a few extras. It's got an audio commentary with Jeff Hathcock and Slasher Video's Jesus Turan, an interview with director Jeff Hathcock. So a little couple extras there. Anyway, that is my last disc. All of these could be potentially fun watches during this Halloween season. I do recommend choosing a few of them to try out if you haven't seen them. This is one of the best times of year. Have a great Blu-ray-filled week, and I will talk to you very soon.
It all begins about 12 o'clock when the graves all open and we start to rock.
Graveyard Rock. Graveyard Rock.
In the graveyard.
Graveyard Rock.
Everybody digs a graveyard rock. Every night is just like Halloween. As you rock and roll this graveyard scene.
Graveyard Rock. Graveyard Rock.
In the graveyard.